there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passenger today is a hugely talented, award-winning Irish singer-songwriter who I just adore. Her brilliant new album, 11 Past the Hour, is out on the 23rd of April on Decca Records. Normally you'd find her in a smoky speakeasy singing the blues in that unmistakable voice of hers. But today I've bumped her up to first class to enjoy a Guinness and a bag of nuts. Welcome on board, Imelda May!
This is the final boarding call for passengers Imelda May. I repeat, this is the final boarding call for Imelda May. Thank you.
And before you get on the plane, what do you take with you? Do you get anything duty-free? Do you have like a little vodka and stuff for when you arrive there? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you get books? What do you do?
Oh, me, I normally chase after my daughter who decides to try on every single lipstick and perfume in the area. So that's why you'll see me totally stress head chasing her, running around, because she's such a girly girl. She'll just go and then open everything and try on everything, and she normally gets onto the plane looking fabulous and I'm a sweaty mess.
Oh, fantastic.
Hello, can adults please keep their children under control? This is a terminal, not a crash.
Now, the last time I saw you was at the Royal Albert Hall. Do you remember that amazing night?
Oh, my God. Wasn't that brilliant? Oh, to be back there.
Oh, I know, I know. And then I realised everyone knows you and loves you backstage. It was so full of famous people. I met Bob Geldof. Now, he normally frightens me because obviously I'm a child of the 80s, you know, give me your fucking money. But it was lovely to get a big hug from him.
He's the loveliest guy. He's really, really lovely and cantankerous and funny. And I mean that as a massive compliment. He shakes up a night. He's fab. He'll say whatever he wants to say. And I really admire him for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your new album, 11 Past the Hour, is out on the 23rd of April. You must be gagging to get out there and perform it, aren't you?
I'm going mad to get on the road. I've had like 3 tours cancelled or something. And the album was supposed to be out last year. I'm like, come on. Let's get this on the road.
I mean, my stand-up tour has been put back 4 times and it's just so... I mean, some of the jokes were old when I wrote them. Now they're 2 years out of date. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do.
But that's... I was only saying that last night to my boyfriend that I'm ready to write the next album. I'm flying ahead creatively. I'm writing away, but I haven't put any of these out yet. So I can't wait for them to come out. It just feels mad. Feels like standing at a starting line, you know, forever.
Yeah, my God, yeah. I mean, let's talk about it. I haven't heard the album because it's not out yet, but I heard 11 Past the Hour. God, that's a beautiful song, that title track. It's so gorgeous.
Thank you very much. I'll send you the rest if you want to hear it.
Please do.
Do you want a sneak preview?
Oh, could you? Do I have to go on the dark web to get it?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'll get some guns and drugs while I'm at it. Now, as you know, thank you first for flying Alan Air. This is a travel podcast. It must have been cool growing up in Dublin. Was it a great place to grow up?
Yeah. Oh, God. And I grew up in a place called the Liberties, which is just so full of character. It was just brilliant. All the mad characters around, eccentricity was welcomed. So, yeah, it was brilliant. I'm very lucky, and a mad family as well, which helps. They're bonkers.
Where would you take me out in Dublin for a night out? I don't want to go to any of these bloody touristy places. I want proper, you know, James Joyce was seen there having a drink, you know what I mean, years ago. I want that. I want the proper Dublin experience. I don't want to see people cling film to lampposts with their trousers around their ankles. You don't want to stag
do. Nobody wants to see that. No, I'd take you on a fab little tour of underground Dublin, down to the smallest bar in the world, down to the oldest one in the Brazen Head that's there since 1100 and something. And the thing about Ireland is, a lot of people, when they come over as tourists, they say, oh my God, we'll go to all the pubs. But it's not just about drinking. The music is fab. The food is fab. So pubs are more social rather than a cane in it. You know what I mean? You'll get a grand old meal, fireplace, and then a good old session. But I bring it all around there, and then I know that place back to front. I'll bring you to the maddest places. You'd love it. I know a little speakeasy, and I know a little place that opens till whatever time you want to open to, but I can't save that online.
Right, I'm holidaying in Dublin.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that I know that you have to knock three times. There's a little hatch opens. I mean, for real, not a fake one that you get. It's a little, and they check you out and then you can get in. But the thing is, I can't get into all the celeb places because I never go there. So I don't know where they are, and I don't know what they are, and I can't get into them. And I remember once I won a Meteor Award, and everybody was going to like Lily's at the time. And I couldn't get in. I was standing there, so I didn't get the award. No. I don't know those people.
I mean, I'm a bit romantic when I go away, you know, and I travel a lot when you could. And, you know, I always, you know, hope when I go to Berlin that I'll stumble across like a, you know, a bar from the 1920s thing. I get very romantic. Are you a bit like that? Because obviously the way you sing is so sultry and bluesy. Did you sometimes go to these places hoping to find these kind of atmospheric bars that, you know, just smoky and just fabulous?
Oh, I always find them. when we're on the road, my band, they always, when we get together at the end of the night, my band will say, God, I should have stuck with you. You know, they'd say, what happened? We get into the middle of nowhere, or. And a lot of the time, not all the time, obviously, but a lot of the time, they'll say, God, there was nothing happening around here. And I'll come out with these mad stories that if it's safe, I'll follow me nose. And I end up in, I remember in New Orleans, I ended up in somebody's, they'd done like a pop-up restaurant in somebody's sitting room. And I just saw loads of people going in, and I just ran after them and I followed them in. And I ended up in this little sitting room having dinner with the most amazing music.
Hello, can the lady in row C, who's just followed the celebrity into first class, please return to her seat? Thank you.
I remember another time in Shepherd's Bush, this homeless man came up to me, and he's now my boyfriend, but he wasn't at the time, and came up looking for a light, and then started telling me about all about his art and how he has this accommodation that he stayed in, and would I like to go and see his art? And I was like, yes, let's go.
Well, let's chat up lines go. That's pretty cool.
Smoking and drinking tea and playing the piano and looking at this old man's art, which was beautiful. It was the best night. And he was saying, I haven't had company in so long. And he was just, it was an upside down little bedsit. And I was safe. I brought my fella with me. It was just a magical night. I love those nights more than the planned glitzy ones. They end up better sometimes if you just follow your nose.
And you're lucky because you can sing amazingly. So, you know, people will invite you in the house. I mean, when I start singing, when I've had a few, people often show me the door. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, Imelda.
I don't believe you, because you're so lovely. Everybody ends up wrapping their arms around you and loving you and wanting to see more of you and wanting to see again. So that's not true. You're such a gorgeous soul.
Oh, I suppose you're right, Imelda. So tell us about some of your earliest holiday memories. What did you do? Where did you go?
Do you know what? You've just opened a can of worms. My parents were... So I'm from the inner city of Dublin, and there wasn't much around at that time. A lot of people didn't go on holidays at all. Nobody could afford a lot of stuff. Because there was a massive recession, just so you know, in the 80s, it was really bad.
Yeah, because I was really surprised when I went there. I mean, I was driving along the motorway and then the motorway just stopped. And then it turned into a dirt track and I was like, what's happened to the motorway?
It was like that years ago. It was like that. But my mum and dad just had this adventurous spirit about them. And I remember I used to get killed in school by the teachers because they thought I was a liar. Because my parents used to put us in the car with a tent on top, and all seven of us was five kids and them in this tiny little car. I used to have to sit across my brothers and sisters at the back. And then we'd head off to Spain and France and Italy and Morocco with no plan, and just off we'd go. And it was just so adventurous. And when I'd come back into school, they used to say, they'd go around after the summer holidays and say, where have you been and what did you do? And I used to hate that question because they always would get the cane out on me because they thought I was lying. Because they'd say to the one beside me, she'd say, oh, I went to London, I saw my auntie, or I went to, you know, Tenerife, wherever it was, or I went to down to Cork, whatever. And then it would come to me and I'd say, I went to Morocco and I had a snake around my neck, and they would go, yeah, right. And then the next year be like, we went to Paris and camped under the Eiffel Tower, which we did. My dad nearly got arrested.
I saw that on Graham Norton when you were like,
that's 100% true.
When you said then he was being pulled out by a gendarme.
They dragged us out. I remember my mum was in a dressing gown and all, and she was shouting at the police, leave him alone, and they were dragging him off. He was going, I've done nothing wrong. And apparently you're not allowed to camp under the Eiffel Tower. You know that gorgeous green spot?
Yes. Yes,
oh, this'll do. We must be here before everyone else. And it was a massive bright orange thing.
Hello, passengers. If you look out to your left, you'll see the Eiffel Tower, and if you look really closely underneath there, you'll see an orange thing. That's a tent with Imelda May in it.
And then another time I went into school and said I went to Rome and got kissed by the Pope, which I did.
You got a wow!
Picked me out of the crowd, kissed me on the cheek and put me back in into my mum. And so they used to kill me in school because my early memories of travel was definitely adventurous. Yeah. From them, and everything would go wrong or go right, and we'd break down on the side of roads. And I remember my dad befriended someone in this French chateau, and they rented them an electric car with no roof, and it got better and better.
Has that sort of made you want to travel more? Do you reckon that's through traveling so much? Has that sort of whet your appetite?
I think it definitely gave me the bug, and it definitely gave me a different view on the world that I wouldn't have had before. And it gave me a lovely, and all of us, without realising at the time, looking back, I think it gave us an acceptance of other people, of different people, that we weren't in this insular world. We'd seen loads of the world from very early age. And we had no money. We used to have to, my dad used to make us choose between food or sightseeing. And we'd all go, yay, let's go sightseeing. We'd flip a coin if only two of us could go up and see whatever thing was. And so two of us would go. We used to have so many adventures. But because of that, my mom and dad would lean on people and meet people and be open to meeting people. And we ended up in this belly dancing club as children one night. And we were all being minded by all the belly dancers. And I think it gave me a great... I was thinking I'd love to write a non-fiction comedy about it because the adventures were mad.
Why don't you retrace some of your steps, like with Netflix? Get that orange tent out and recreate it. Orange is the new black. I don't know. I'm thinking off the top of my head here.
It's so funny. The tent almost never went up to the shape that was on the box. Sometimes it was really low and long. We'd have to crawl into it.
Like a windsock.
Yeah. One time we brought my granddad, who was in his 90s, and he kept complaining that his feet were cold, and my mum kept throwing blankets on him. And by the end of it, we went out in the morning to get out, and they realised his 2 feet were stuck outside the tent for the whole night. And they were saying, God, he's a terrible winder, isn't he? I'm going to give him 3 blankets. He's still not.
Do you go for holiday romances? Have you had any holiday romances?
Oh no, I'm all in. I'm such a romantic. I get swept away. I couldn't do a holiday romance and then say goodbye.
All right. Okay. So you don't go there. So if like a waiter winks at you or anything like that, you're like, no. Obviously, when you were single and everything.
I don't really go for holiday romances. I'm too much of a romantic for that. I'd have me heartbroken in a second. I'm one of those.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine. I'll just get off with anyone when I was on holiday. And then that's not true because no one would get off with me. When you go touring, is there a place when you look at your schedule and go, woohoo, that's the place for me? It's always the best place.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them. And I do love an adventure. When you're on tour, by the way, often a lot of people think that you see the world, but often you see motorways and the venue and that's it.
Oh God, yeah.
You roll up, you have no time, you get into the venue, sound check, all that, and then you're back on and you're gone again. And you've seen absolutely nothing. So sometimes it sounds like you've seen everywhere, but you've not experienced the place at all.
Yeah.
There are a few places you get some time off. New York is definitely one that I just love because I find it so exciting. I have quite a lot of friends there. So there's always something to do. Barcelona is another one I love, Madrid. But the one place in the world that I can fall into is New Orleans. I can disappear into New Orleans. Yeah, it's just so gorgeous and magical and bonkers. And it just has such a... It puts a spell on you.
Oh, so it's like everything that you... That's the one place I haven't been, but I would absolutely love to go. But I always worry that it's going to be a bit of a disappointment, but you just want it to be perfect. But I'm definitely going to, when all this madness is over, get to New Orleans.
I think New Orleans is, if you plan it, it's for me, if you roll into New Orleans and plan all the things you want to do, it reminds me, it's kind of like Ireland in a way. In Ireland, it's not a place you should plan.
No,
it's a place you should just go with the flow and see what happens. And that's when you'll have... And New Orleans is like that. If you plan your sightseeing, that's all you'll do. If you just roll up and then just follow your nose on it, you will have the best time because you'll end up in the maddest of places and getting your fortune told by a woman in a top hat and a pair of hobnail boots, you know? It's just great, yeah.
So what's this about New Grove? What's this?
Oh, New Grange.
Oh, New Grange. Sorry. Yeah. What's this about New Grange?
So New Grange, I love you to go to New Grange. It would blow your mind. So Ireland, for me, obviously I'm from there, but almost the more I traveled, the more I appreciated what I had at home. That often happens. And there's so much magic in Ireland and so many ancient things all the way back into paganism that There's so much strength in Ireland in the ancient ways that I'm rediscovering more and more, especially since the church seems to be having less and less of a hold, which it didn't have, by the way, for most of our existence. It's only in recent history. So I'm getting into all these ancient ways and learning more. So Newgrange, if you go to Newgrange, there's now a big tourist site that they've built on top of it and around it, which is lovely, because the weather's awful in Ireland. So at least you're warm and dry and get a nice cup of coffee or something. But this whole area, it's Brún na Boinne. It's in the Boyne Valley. And they discovered this mound that years ago they dug into. And there's this massive site. And it's 5,000 years old. So it's a couple of thousand years older than the pyramids, if I'm correct, or 2,000 or 3,000. How old are the pyramids? 2,000 years?
2,300, I think. And I think and it must be, that's older than Stonehenge then.
It's older than Stonehenge. And the artwork on the outside is stunning. And they realise the people there have built it for generations. So those who started knew they'd never finish it. And they brought in these stones from miles down the road. And they have to try and figure out how they brought them, these massive boulders that you'd have problems moving now. But you can actually go into it. And it's a massive building that you go in. And as you walk in, then you end up in this narrow chamber, and once a year on the winter solstice, the sunrise, they built it in accordance with the sun and with planets and the stars, and once a year this chamber just illuminates with light for just a few minutes every year, and the light comes along from, there's a little you don't realize when you're walking in, there's like a little hole above your head, like a little window cut out. And as you walk, you don't realise you're elevated, the path goes up. And that path is a path for the light to come in, and it ends up at your feet and then hits off the ground and illuminates this chamber inside. And it's unbelievable that they did hundreds of years work to build this to last forever.
They should be as famous as Stonehenge. Why doesn't anyone know about it?
I don't know. I mean, the Irish, we're great for kind of half telling people things because we want people to know about it, but then we don't want it too full. It's kind of like all of our beaches. We have so many beaches, obviously being an island, but they haven't been built up is what I'm saying. And we've so many, and you can walk from miles on sandy beaches in the rain, by the way, but you'll meet hardly anybody else. And it's just, it's kind of lovely. Donegal, there's nobody there because the train lines are awful, but it's part of the reason why it's so untouched.
You know, before I went to Ireland, you would hear all these, you know, these Hollywood stars getting holiday homes there and just disappearing there. And you're like, why are you going to Ireland? You're like a big star and that. But there are so many gorgeous places. No one knows. It is a great place to hide, isn't it?
Yeah.
My old agent used to live in Runa Key over the other side. I mean, and you know, if you swam across, then you'd hit America. I mean, so desolate, but so beautiful. And the beaches, oh.
The West Coast is beautiful. So when I was a teenager, I ran away to the West Coast with a boy. I went for a weekend and I stayed there for nearly a year. And I lived in a caravan, a tiny little caravan right near about a few minutes walk from the cliffs. I just escaped over there, but I had no electricity and no running water, and I had the best time in this little caravan, and I made the best friends, and I learned how to play the Bowron in the pub down the road, and I got myself a little job in the cafe. And I remember seeing all these geologists coming because the Burren is there, and the Burren, if you Google the Burren, it looks like you've landed on the moon, and it's just this all these mad rocks for miles. And down the cracks of these rocks, you get plants that shouldn't grow together from all over the world that blow in on the wind and grow down in these tiny cracks. So it's one of the wonders of the world. But I used to walk with any dogs I'd pick up along the way, you know, along the houses that used to sit outside with nobody with them. I'd call them and I'd bring them. I'd say, shout to the owners, I'll bring it on a walk, and I'd walk off with these dogs, and it was just like walking on the moon, and you'd meet nobody. It was just magical, you know. There's still places you can hide, and it has magic to it, which is, as you can tell, something that draws me in.
When I perform my stand-up in Ireland, I always have the best time. And it's one of my favourite festivals there is the Kilkenny Festival. And
Fab.
It's Friday to Monday. Doesn't care about reviews. Like Edinburgh goes on, the festival goes on and on and on. But you go there, it's just a box in the side of a pub. You get up there with your microphone and sometimes not even with a microphone. And it's just amazing. And it's the whole, and you just want this oral tradition of telling jokes in a pub. It's just how it should be, you know. There's no negativity or anything. It's just fun. Simple. That's it.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Well, Ireland's good for it. If you put your heart into something, you'll be accepted. If you start having airs and graces about yourself, and getting too uptight about it, that doesn't work. If you put your heart into it, then you're good to go. And I'm sure everybody loves you like mad. Kilkenny is gorgeous. The castle in Kilkenny is great, but there's a little kind of there's a club in Kilkenny that you can go down underground and you're in these medieval vaults.
Trust you to find that, Imelda. Trust you to find that.
I do.
You're so good at finding these little places.
I went to Venice and Jack Savaretti kidnapped me once, him and his band, and they kidnapped me in Venice. That's a story in itself. I mean, they did. They cancelled me flights and my hotel and everything. And took me on the road. He okayed it, obviously, with my my family and friends and my manager and all that. And they said, yeah, she'd love it. I did one gig with him. And then he said, I want you to come to Geneva with me, Genoa, for 5 more days. So I woke up in the morning, got a call from the tour manager. And the tour manager said, pack your bags. I said, no, I've booked to stay here for a few days. And they said, we've cancelled it. I said, but I'm flying. They said, we've cancelled your flights. There's a boat outside your door. Jump in that and then meet us in a van on the other side of Venice. And off we went.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the crew, I ask that you please direct your attention to the monitors above as we review the emergency procedures.
Now, you and me, we both end up living in hotels. When was the last time you were blown away by a hotel? Because it sounds awful, but you do get very about hotels, especially when you're touring. When was the last time you were like, wow? Because even I love it when they put like a little point the toilet paper into a point. That blows my mind. But, you know... But when was the last time you were like, wow, oh, my God, oh, Imelda?
Because I don't remember. I don't remember hotels now.
Did you go 5-star or are you one of those, you kind of an Airbnb or what kind of thing do you do? Do you have a preference for a hotel and stuff?
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily need to go 5-star. No. I love my own space. I don't like to be fussed, so I do love a little Airbnb or I like to be hidden. There's a few beautiful hotels that I do love to go back to. There's a gorgeous little one in Killarney that's beautiful, a little understated and very, very well. And there's a gorgeous one I go to, Manor Hotel in Cork, that I love.
Oh, I've stayed there. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, I like places that have a personal touch. And there's another place I stay in New York, but they're not flashy. I prefer the place where you turn up and they remember you. Oh, I love those.
Nice.
And they say, oh, it's so good to have you back. And you can ask how their family are. And that works better for me. And they know to leave you be or not, whatever, or look after you when you come back. Because as you know, when we come back from a gig, we're already we start our energy level has to be up, you know, from 8, 9 o'clock all the way through till 12 o'clock. And you don't just switch off and go to bed.
No.
You need to go and have something to eat. Mostly you don't eat before your gigs, you're starving. Oh. And so many places when you travel, no matter how, you know what, even if you filled their hotel that everybody has come to see you next door, if you filled the amount of places that just go, no, we're shut, our kitchen's closed, drives me mad. So I love a place that's accommodating and will say, do you know what, don't you worry, we'll take care of you. Bring your family in. And that's what I like.
I can't stand that when you turn up at the hotel and you've just performed all night and you've like, you had a standing ovation and you say, can I have something to eat? Say, oh, we've got some dry roasted nuts. And you're like, really? I'm Alan Carr, the entertainer.
That happens more than you can ever believe.
But I was reading Michael Palin's diaries and he said exactly what you said. I mean, all of Monty Python, you know, performing, go back and then the woman like, you know, huffing and puffing because they have to make a sandwich, you know, and it's like, we've got to eat, we're artists.
Do you know what we should do? We should put it out into the universe that when everything's on lockdowns over, that we should find the most fabulous hotels and go to all the spas.
That's a good idea. In your orange tent. Now, Imelda, have you ever complained in a hotel or anywhere? Are you quite a nice traveller? Have you ever gone, don't you know who I am?
No, I don't. But my dad does. My dad rings up and says, don't you know who my daughter is? Which is mortifying.
Right, Imelda, here's the quick fire round. Are you ready? Let's go. Chicken or beef?
Neither.
Oh, are you a veggie?
Well, I have been for many years, but I got into fish and chips when I got pregnant. Oh, okay.
Street food or a la carte? Will you be tempted to sit down in the gutter and have like a bit of a wok of food or?
No, a la carte. I love street food, but I've had. Oh, that's a tough one. But I've had a few dodgy stomachs, so I'll go a la carte today.
Yeah, I mean, I always go a la carte. I mean, I've had the shits, been there, done it. You get the gist. Factor 50 or chip fat? Are you quite sensible in the sun?
Factor 50 now. Chip fat before. I'm trying to undo the damage I did.
Nudist or not on your Nelly?
Oh, nudist all the way.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes. I'd happily let it all hang out.
Since you've gone to that Neolithic tomb, isn't it? It's made you all like into a druid and you're like, clothes are for losers. Desert or ocean? This is quite deep for me. Desert or ocean?
Ocean.
And hammock or Hilton?
Hammock.
Hammock. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Imelda. That was so much fun.
Oh, thank you. You're so lovely. I can wrap you up forever.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Oh, Imelda May. She just makes me want to go to Ireland so much. I absolutely love her. Please subscribe and rate my podcast. I would love you to. And I hope you enjoyed the journey.